don't get them girls loose, loose.
TJR.
You don't get the world loose, loose. You don't get money,
Mr. Worldwide.
But I do, I do. You don't get them girls loose, loose. You don't get the world loose, loose. You don't get money, but I do.
Nathan Zagura, Vic Carucci here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. And don't forget, tomorrow you can join Vic at Discount Drug Mart in Brunswick Hills as he broadcasts live. He'll be joined by Jabal Sheard, Buster Screen, and Chomps. Discount Drug Mart is located at 5270 Center Road, Brunswick Hills, Ohio, 44212. So go out there and say what's up to Notorious.
But you'll still be doing, doing the show together. We're just not together.
That's right.
You'll be in the dog. It's going to be tough.
It's going to be
emotionally tough.
Separation. Yeah, totally. That's a little SA. We always have that from the third member of our team, but fortunately he joins us via the phone or every single day or from live from in studio back down there at the KNR studios, Gerard Cherry. And Gerard, you knew the Steelers were going to win. You called that on Call Your Shot Friday, but I don't even think even you would have imagined that it would be as ugly and lackluster performance as we saw.
No, Nathan and Vic, I didn't think it would be as bad as we saw, but at the same time, part of me did consider that when you think about what took place earlier the week or the previous week with the Cincinnati Bengals. It was really the same scenario playing itself out in which you had a meaningful football game and would you show up? And this beleaguered football team made a decision as a collective. Now, some individuals did show up, but as a collective, not to show up. So I wasn't surprised about that because when you think about it, when you have an opportunity to play meaningful football and you let it slip away and you get blown out 2 weeks in a row tells you all you need to know about the majority of this team and how it's comprised.
All right, you're hitting a lot of heavyweight stuff there, Gerard, so I need you to kind of break this down a little more for me. It's based on, obviously, what you saw on the field, but what were the specific things that were troubling you and what told you that this team, that certain individuals, or excuse me, the collective, was missing that thing that you wanted to see?
Whenever you have guys, and I hearken into this situation, last week the Cavaliers played a basketball game. They had one guy, and his name escapes me, but he's from Australia. And in essence, he's on a 15-day contract. And he understands that if he doesn't play, he'll be cut.
He played like a madman. I know what you're talking about.
And what's his name, Dino?
Like Dellavedova.
Dellavedova, yeah. Yeah, so like you said, Nathan, he played like a madman. The reason why he played like a madman, he understands his situation. But for some reason, when you look at the backbone of this football team, that being the guys at the bottom and the middle part of this roster and the guys who aren't the stars per se, what do? Nothing. That's what they do. Absolutely nothing. They let kicks get blocked. They don't cover kicks. They get dominated. And you say to yourself, where's your production? Where's your angst? Where's your attitude? Where's your fight for your life to be in the NFL? And you don't see it from guys that aren't safe. So imagine what happens to guys who are safe. Now, to some of these guys who are safe, like the Joe Haydens and the Josh Gordons of the world, they are playing. They are putting out there and producing. But when you have a majority of your team made up of guys that are second tier, for lack of a better description, and at the bottom of this roster, and whose career is always up in jeopardy, to not perform or not to be excited, motivated, tells you that that's a football team that is satisfied with its status quo, which is to be not so good.
Yeah, you've said a lot there, and it's okay, and I hear you loud and clear. I guess the other question to ask you is, as you see this going forward, because I brought this up a little earlier in the show, does it change any perspective you've had on how much work is ahead for this football team to get better, to find those kinds of players that, in your view, have character flaws? That's what I think you're saying.
That's what I'm saying is, do you have a bunch of winners on the football team? Do you have a bunch of go-getters? Do you have guys who have dog in them, who have fight in them? Or do you have guys, once things go awry, who say, you know what, we can't win this? And you know what, we've seen signs of this all year long. Because it's obvious. This team has, as a team, has no faith in Brandon Wheaton. Now, the easy thing to do is say, we can't win with Brandon Wheaton, call it a day. And we've seen that on the defensive effort of that and offensively, and some degree special teams, not step up when Brandon Wheaton enters the football field. That tells you that there's a mentality of, we can't do it. Now, fast forward to rewind to last night, what you saw the Patriots. That was a team down 24-0. Yep. Obviously, you have a polar opposites in Brandon Wheaton and Tom Brady. But you saw fight. You saw resolve not to quit. And that's what I'm talking about. That is something that you just have to have, Vic. It's not about your ability. That's just your mental makeup of not quitting and understanding that, hey, you never give up. You always go out there and fight. And we've seen time and time again throughout the course of the season, this team say, you know what, Brandon's in the game. Things aren't looking good right now, the quarterback situation. We're going to bail out of this one. But at the same time, there are some rays of light within the context of this football team either. So I'm not going to completely bury it because they did go through some adversity and responded from it. At the same time, it has not been enough. But I'm not surprised, and also I shouldn't be too shocked about it because we knew this year was a exploratory phase anyway to see who is for real and who's fake. So my advice to these guys is this. There are 5 football games left. Typically what happens, they remember the last 4 games that you played in. The last quarter of the season is your chance to set yourself up for next year. So if you're going to be smart, you might want to start this week with Jacksonville because that will be embarrassing to this organization to lose to the Jaguars. And if you're not embarrassed by that, by a team that's considered to be one of the worst teams in the NFL, in the NFL, you don't want that moniker bestowed upon you. And that's where this team is headed right now if things don't change quickly.
You're right. It is where this team is headed if things don't change quickly. One thing that seems to have changed, and maybe rather quickly, is the maturation of Josh Gordon. And I've touched on this because I like to be positive. And the one thing I took away from that game wasn't his performance, which was very, very good. And I felt like he fought until the very end as he set the Cleveland Browns franchise record for most receiving yards in a game and tied Ozzie Newsome for the most catches in a game with 14. But afterwards, when asked about that, he said that it didn't mean anything to him because they didn't win. And they're just numbers. And yeah, it was great. But he really doesn't care about it because the team didn't win. What does that say to you about Josh Gordon, where he is and where he's headed and what he can be for this organization?
Well, for starters, he's giving you the right answer and saying the right thing, because how bad would it look for him to say, yeah, I did my thing and that's all I can speak for. So he's getting the whole team concept. But you need guys to step up with him and Joe Hayden in their play and have it be a week-to-week basis. And we're not getting that right now. And I will say, okay, I understand it's a young football team, but these guys are going to have to grow up quick, fast, in a hurry, Nathan and Vic, and just realize that it is not guaranteed that you will be in the league. It is a privilege to play football on Sundays. And it seems like a lot of guys on that roster are taking it for granted.
Yeah. And so what can you do over a 5-week span where legitimately a lot of folks would be hopeful that this team would lose out rather than win out? But that is not the way players can ever think. And to your points about balling out, about showing how much you care, that this is not a privilege, that you are really invested and engaged in trying to be the best player you can be and putting forth an effort, those two messages are going to be kind of conflicting. Mm-hmm. I don't say within the player's mind, but certainly surrounding them, Gerard, talking about that. So kind of take us inside the thinking there. How do you get yourself focused on what we know you'd want and what you're going to want to expect from players so a week from today you're not sitting on this show saying the same thing that you're saying today?
Yeah, well first thing is this, Vic. Losing never begets winning. I don't care who says it. You can tank for a season and all that, and people want to throw out Andrew Luck in the Colts situation. Yeah, that's a rare occurrence because there's no Andrew Luck in this draft, last time I checked, far as a quarterback is concerned. At least the one that's been revealed quite yet. So don't go with the whole let's lose for the sake of losing, because when these young players do come in, they're not going to be given the keys they may be given the keys to organization by the organization, but players like a DeQuell Jackson, like a Joe Hayden, and a Joe Thomas are not going to acquiesce to some young guy who just came fresh out of college and say, hey, you lead me. And that's not how it's going to work. So it has to be the guys within that room right now building a foundation so they can garner the respect of the younger guys that are coming out of college and say, you know what, yeah, I will follow you because you know something about winning. You have done it. You are paying the price. I see that. And so if you go with this whole let's lose for the sake of losing, you're going to, one, be out of a job more than likely, and two, that culture stays in the building. You have to win, and it's a hard task to do, and it really understanding that, hey, you have to pay a price to do it. And when you simplify it, Vic and Nathan, that's really what it boils down to. You had 2 weeks in a row where you watched that football game. You do not walk away from it saying the Cleveland Browns were not capable of winning that game or those games. You walk away from it saying there was not enough intensity, there was not enough attention to detail, and guys were not willing to pay the price. And that's on the players. I'm not putting that on the coaches.
All right. I agree. Gerard Cherry, great insight as always. Stay tuned. He'll be with Hooley and Gerard 3 p.m. Eastern right here on ESPN 850 WKNR. Talk to you tomorrow, my man.
Yeah, I'll be cool by then.
At least you weren't firing everybody this week, so it's a little bit better. But I think it's more...
I told you what you need to do last week. I'm not even going to bring that up again.
This is just more of a depressing one. This is like the reality check. Last week was like we still felt they were there.
I don't think, though, he's got his finger off the firing button.
No,
I'm just,
I don't think
I'm
so
just
either.
Saying.
I don't think so either.
Do you know any tweets to mention?
Let's get those after the break, when we get the break, guys.
All right, well, okay. Well, that's another way we could go about this. Our producer keeping us on track, as we clearly need to be. All right, we will come back with tweets from the Dog Pound.